The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. A year or so ago, I was at a restaurant. It was a midday meal, and a mother was with her four children. They had their devices on. They were squirmy, and this was meant to be an afternoon off. She was basically, as we learned, going to take them to a movie. But because they were so squirmy and she was trying to get their attention, she stood up and began to address them. Of course, what happened? The children were in their devices and talking to each other, but the entire rest of the restaurant stopped to listen. So she basically told them that they were to put their devices away, go to the bathroom, meet at the car, and then they would see the film. None of them heard, and as they were scattering, they said to each other, "Where do we go next?" And a woman at another table said, "Go to the bathroom, then go to the car, you'll go to the movie." And the girl said to the woman, "Thank you, our mother never tells us anything." Oftentimes, the intended hearer does not hear, but others fulfill the mission. And I share this because the Sermon on the Mount, you can actually go to the Sea of Galilee and find the very spot where this sermon, this major sermon of Christ's teaching, was given. And we've often asked, who was it intended for? Well, most scholars say that the sermon was, in fact, intended for the disciples. It was part of their teaching. It was how Jesus was forming them. But there were also many others who gathered because there was not much else to do then and because they wanted to hear this teacher. And so it's quite believable that this majestic sermon was passed on by those other hearers. Hearers who knew the prophecy of Zephaniah, which we heard today. Hearers who had that faith that could do justice and mercy. And what was so magnanimous about this teaching, this familiar sermon, which we have all now called the Beatitudes, is because it was Jesus' quintessential way of saying how the lowly would be lifted up and the powerful would find that they had no voice in God. And he begins with what we sung today in the psalm, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Imagine being poor in spirit. Imagine turning on the news and finding that your spirit is not uplifted, but instead you are despondent. It seems that all hope has drained out of you. And this has been a challenging week for our Catholic Church. Whether on Friday you marched for the 44th time to the Supreme Court to protest the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, or you found yourself engaging recent executive orders, there has been a poverty in spirit in our faith these days. How are we to believe that we will inherit the kingdom of God? It is often at these times that I recognize that our faith is also reflective, that sometimes we spin our minds out of control when we continue to immerse ourselves in the immediacy of a situation. Sometimes we have to step back. And so often it's at times like this that I read Catholic history, particularly American Catholic history, because it reminds us that perhaps we've been here before and we have something to learn from our ancestors. The chairman of the history department at the University of Notre Dame, John T. McGreevy, wrote a great book, Catholicism and American Freedom, A History, where he focuses particularly on the 19th century and the anti-Catholicism of the 19th century, when we as a people were definitively poor in spirit. And he begins the book with an interesting historical episode called the Elliott School Uprising. I don't know how many of you know of it, but at the Elliott School, which was a public school in the north end of Boston, there was a young student by the name of Thomas Wall. And Thomas Wall, as part of his instruction, remember this was Christian education in a public school, was asked to stand up and recite the Ten Commandments. Well, he did, but he recited the wrong Ten Commandments. He was a Catholic, so he recited from the Catholic Scriptures, which have a slightly different order than what was the prescribed reading of the commandments from the King James Bible. He was told that he was to read the correct commandments from the King James Bible, or he would be punished. Well, he probably heard the Pauline reading that the foolish can bring down the wise because he refused to capitulate to the teacher's demands. Well, that was an era of corporal punishment, not capital punishment in schools, but corporal punishment. And so his knuckles were beaten every hour till they were bleeding such that it would force him to read from the King James Bible, and he never did. Well, he became an enormous cause célèb, not only on the East Coast, but his story made its way to Europe, and there became this great Catholic revival. And really pitted against each other were a rather unknown Jesuit, but one who has historic value to this part of the country, a Father Rouget, and a more famous Unitarian minister by the name of Arthur Buckminster Fuller. And Fuller was ardently defending the Protestant Bible and the Protestant faith in the common curriculum of the school. But Catholics, recognizing that they were oppressed, rose up. And the revival movement enabled them to do great things for their faith, for the gospel, and to build up the kingdom of God. Sometimes we have to look at a young school child suffering a minor corporal punishment for something he or she believes in to recognize that we can be a people of revival, we can be a church of hope, and we can breathe new life into an era when we are poor in spirit. The prophet Zephaniah talks about lifting up the lowly and bringing down the powerful. It's not about revolution. It's not necessarily about partisan politics. It's about believing in the power of God to transform human hearts. It's about putting our faith in a situation and not just our minds, and believing that we too are people of the Beatitudes. So who are Jesus' intended hearers of the Beatitudes? The disciples, those gathered on the hill. I believe we are. We are the ones called this day to grow from our poverty of spirit so that we can build the kingdom of God.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.